Last week, I read in the trades that Meroesh Gelb had passed away, a name I had never known. My wife said, "Wait, should I know who that is?" Apparently, he was me. For 31 years in his tiny home country, Gelb had dubbed my voice in every movie I ever made, convinced by an uncle long ago that he matched me in ways that went beyond my sound. He voiced me in my film debut as the terrified farmer with seven lines in A Haunted Planet. He voiced me during the years of my rise, the award years, the salary bonanza, the sellout, the alcohol, the decline, and comebacks one and two. He voiced me in the independent film that went south so fast, and in the commercials for Casio watches. My movies played in his tiny home country in the same two theaters again and again until 5 years ago when I was finally considered a box office poison and the number shrank to one. Had I found the resolve to go on and take that lead on the doctor's show, he might have voiced me then too, I imagine. I had no idea this person existed. He'd long struggled with a rare blood disease, I read, and had only marginal success with other voice work over the decades, just enough to make half a living. In the autumns and winters, he'd taught metalworking skills to high schoolers, who often teased him about being me, just with no money and no fame. I read that in the trades. "I would have liked to have met him," I said to my agent on the phone. "You did, actually," she said. "He was at that party at Dick and Marlowe's during the shoot in Bratislava. I remember you shaking his hand. Marlowe just said, 'Here's a man and wife who drove 100 miles so they could meet you.' But that's all she said." I didn't remember. They said he swallowed his T's just a little, like me, but that it was something he'd had to develop over the years. By my cameo in Many Trains Home, he had it down. People I talked to said he was me, but with a little less anger. He had a darker wit that sometimes turned boring lines into something a bit more. They said that in September Deadline, his voice hinted that I was in love with a different character than I was supposed to be. He'd enjoyed The Cave Dweller the most, it was believed, because he had sensed I feared dying just as much as he did himself, and heard it most during the churchyard monologue, which had always been my favorite. I'd been given 20 takes to do that one. 18 months later, a man in a glass booth had only given him 2. Last night, my agent sent me a YouTube link with no explanation. I clicked on it. Though there was no money to be made, Meroesh Gelb had voiced me in interviews, too, in the times when they showed them on television in his tiny home country. There I was on video in 2003, poorly shaven and too thin, talking about the accident and my battles with a certain director and raising a deaf child. But it was his voice that told the story. And though I didn't speak his language, somehow I heard in his inflections and pauses and volume a dignity and humility I lacked back then, which made me sound guarded and isolated. He was telling the story as the me I wish I had been. So long, Meroesh Gelb. Someday I'll shake your hand once again, in the big open room where we go to find out who all our fellow passengers had been all along. The passers-by who worshipped us, the secret enemies who hated us, the strangers who swept up our shadows and folded them into swans.